And now a fresh blooming bouquet of centennials for you. 2004 is half over. We pause so you can gasp. And we have noticed that this year is chock full of 100th anniversaries of familiar people and things and events. So we thought we'd have a little celebration of some of them. Cary Grant, for starters. Always a cause for celebration. Here he is with Rosalind Russell in His Girl Friday.
Yes, I wish you hadn't done that, Hilly.
Done what?
Divorce me. Makes a fella lose all faith in himself. Gives him a... almost gives him a feeling he wasn't wanted.
There's a story about a reporter who'd spent some time in L.A. with the glamorous, funny, tall, dark, and handsome actor to do a profile. Before it went to press, an editor asked that Cary Grant's age be included in the story, so the reporter sent a telegram, "How old Cary Grant?" The tall, dark, handsome actor cabled back, "Old Cary Grant, fine. How you?" Another British actor, John Gielgud, was born 100 years ago, major Shakespearean player, perhaps best known here for his Oscar-winning performance as Hobson the Butler in the 1981 movie Arthur.
I've taken the liberty of anticipating your condition, and I brought you orange juice, coffee, and aspirins, or do you need to throw up?
2004 marks the centennial not just of people, but of things. The New York subway opened 100 years ago this year. So did the St. Louis World's Fair, bringing visitors their first ice cream cones and their first taste of Dr. Pepper. Tenor Enrico Caruso made his debut at the Metropolitan Opera in 1904. Other centennial debuts, Colgate Ribbon Dental Cream, Post Toasties Cereal, and, trumpets please, Dr. Scholl's Arch Supports. Some extraordinary musicians were born 100 years ago this year. Count Basie, pianist, big band leader, with a rhythm section you could bake a cake by. Its timing was so tight and precise. When he was 74 on NPR, Count Basie taught me how to play his piano signature.
You do it much more complicated than I do.
No, it's not complicated.
See, I thought what you always did. That's your signature, really, that three-note punctuation at the end. But I thought you did it snake eyes, just with these two fingers, first finger and the pinky.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Right.
Moss Hart was born 100 years ago. When was his birthday, Miss Carlisle?
October 24th.
Thank you. Kitty Carlisle Hart, Moss Hart's widow, she has been a fixture in New York cultural life for decades as an actress, singer, arts administrator. Ms. Carlisle, Mrs. Hart.
I've done a little bit of everything.
You really have. Your husband, Moss Hart, also did a little bit of everything. He was a playwright. He got the 1937 Pulitzer Prize for You Can't Take It With You. He wrote that with George S. Kaufman. He also wrote The Man Who Came to Dinner, a classic. It's still performed in cities and towns across the country.
All of their works are still performed.
It's because
that's right.
They wrote about universals. Human nature, greed, corruption, nerve, right?
That's right.
Just about everybody who ever worked with him simply adored him. Was he the soul of patience, Kitty Carlisle Hart?
Oh, no. He was the soul of impatience. He wanted everything yesterday. And when he bought something at Sotheby's, which he did quite often, he would carry it home on his back. Didn't make any difference how big it was. I have one painting there, which is about 8 feet, and he brought it home on his back down Madison Avenue.
What haven't I asked you about your late husband, Moss Hart, that you want us to know about?
Well, I want to tell you that he was great fun. He made everything more interesting. And when he went to a party, the whole mood was different. As he walked in the door, everybody kind of perked up and wanted to put their best foot forward. It was his presence people just thought he was the cat's whiskers.
Yeah.
And so did I.
Thank you so much. Kitty Carlisle Hart, helping us remember her late husband, Moss Hart, born October 24th, 1904. We are marking various centennials in this part of Weekend Edition because so many important milestones seem to have cropped up in 1904. Actually, though, you know, if you stop to think about it, lots of the important people born in 1904 were created in 1903. So there is certainly further room for study some Saturday in the very distant future. Anyway, here's what life was like in 1904. You could sail on the Lusitania for $65. Sounds cheap. Until you consider that a pair of patent leather shoes for ladies cost $3.15 then. In 1904, a woman was arrested for smoking a cigarette on Fifth Avenue. No word on whether gals could smoke on Broadway. Women in the news in 1904, Helen Keller. She graduated with honors from Radcliffe that year, and working with uranium ore, Marie Curie discovered radium and polonium, two new radioactive elements.
It is. The charge is jumping. It's really jumping. Come and catch and check your hats. I mean, the charge is jumping.
Piano player and composer Fats Waller was born 100 years ago. So was the son of a Polish rabbi who would become one of the 20th century's greatest writers. Isaac Bashevis Singer did all of his writing in Yiddish. On NPR in 1978, he spoke about the humor in his work.
It's a fact that suppressed people, minorities, show more humor than the people who rule and who are completely at home. Whatever purpose it is a fact that the Jews have shown a great sense of humor, and especially there is a lot of humor in the Yiddish language. I once said that the Yiddish is a language with a built-in humor. I said about a Yiddish writer who had no humor, I said he's a genius. To be a Yiddish writer with hard humor, you really have to be a genius.
I.B. Singer won the 1978 Nobel Prize for Literature. Pablo Neruda, also born 100 years ago, was the 1971 Nobel Literature Laureate. Neruda was Chilean, a poet, a diplomat. He served in East Asia and Europe, a communist, a member of the Chilean Senate. Pablo Neruda may be best known for his poems of love. Here is one of them, read by Chilean novelist Isabel Allende.
This is Love Sonnet number 17 of 20 Love Sonnets and a Song of Despair. I don't love you as if you were a rose of salt, topaz, or arrow of carnations that propagate fire. I love you as one loves certain obscure things, secretly between the shadow and the soul. I love you as the plant that doesn't bloom but carries the light of those flowers hidden within itself. And thanks to your love, the tight aroma that arose from the earth lives dimly in my body. I love you without knowing how or when or from where. I love you directly without problems or pride. I love you like this because I don't know any other way to love, except in this form in which I am not, nor are you, so close that your hand upon my chest is mine, so close that your eyes close with my dreams.
A sonnet by Pablo Neruda, read by Isabel Allende, whose uncle Salvador Allende was the democratically elected president of Chile and appointed his lifelong friend Neruda as Chile's ambassador to France. Ms. Allende, you met Pablo Neruda when you were a child. What do you remember most vividly about him?
I met him only a couple of times when I was a child, and I remember him dressed in black. Still, at that time, he was very thin, and he looked like a poet. He had a hat and a cape that were very histrionic, very dramatic. He was always persecuted because he was a communist, so he was either hiding or away. But I met him again in 1973, a month before the military coup.
Do you find it ironic that the way most of us know him is through
a fiction, the Italian film Il Postino that came out a few years ago and imagined Neruda sort of as a matchmaker on this in this remote place.
It's very ironic, really, because the story is almost real. The story didn't happen in Italy. It really happened in Chile, in Isla Negra, where he lived. And he really was the matchmaker for the postman in the little village where he lived. Huh. And later, Antonio Skármeta, a Chilean writer, wrote a screenplay and a book, which was very popular.
And it allowed us to get to know that wonderful love poetry.
Yeah.
Well, his was a life not only of art and a great sensual observations through his art, but also he had such a deep commitment to social justice.
Yes, his father worked in the railway, and he became friends with the workers. One day, one of the workers was killed in the railway, and that made him very aware of the rights and the hard lives of the workers. And forever his poetry changed after that.
There's a story that after your uncle Salvador Allende was overthrown, that soldiers came to Neruda's home, tore it up, tore through it, and what he said to them was, "The only weapons here are words."
Yes. Yes, but by that time he was very sick, and the news of the coup made him so depressed that he died 11 days later.
Mm. Thank you very much. Isabel Allende, Remembering Pablo Neruda, born 100 years ago, Ms. Allende's memoir of growing up in Chile, My Invented Country, has just come out in paperback.
How much do I love you? I'll tell you no lie. How deep is the ocean? How high is the sky?
Bing Crosby, America's first great pop singer, had a centennial this year. The year Crosby was born, the hit song was Give My Regards to Broadway by George M. Cohan. Other hit songs in 1904, Come Take a Trip in My Airship, and the ever-popular Absinthe Frappé. Sculptor Auguste Rodin created the Thinker 100 years ago, providing income for paperweight makers for decades to come. 1904 was a good year for Republicans. Theodore Roosevelt won the White House in a landslide. In baseball, a fellow named Denton Cy Young of Boston pitched the first perfect game. And in other perfections, in England, the Rolls-Royce Company was established. Also in England 100 years ago, Graham Greene was born. He started out as a newspaper man for the Times of London, but he made his mark writing novels. He called some of them entertainments, books like The Third Man. His serious novels included The End of the Affair. Graham Greene became a Roman Catholic when he was 22, and his major theme was the religious crises of his Catholic heroes. When he was 80, Graham Greene spoke of his life on the BBC.
When I look back, and I seem to have been too many places and traveled too much and had, in a way, too many experiences. For a happy life, one should have fewer.
If moonlight had a sound, it would be the sound of the Glenn Miller Orchestra. Band leader Glenn Miller was born 100 years ago this year. So, Glenn Miller, Jimmy Dorsey, George Balanchine, Margaret Burke White, 1904 gave the world an amazing array of men and women whose contributions remain vital 100 years later. Dr. Scholl and his arch supports alone would deserve the biggest slice of centennial birthday cake. What do you think? Was it something in the water back then? Some strange constellation of the planets? Probably not.
What's wonderful about this world is that a close examination of, say, 1902, or in a while, 2007, might reveal an equally dazzling array of artists and geniuses and inventions and events to be observed and celebrated in centennial summers. Of course, only 1904 launched Campbell's Pork and Beans. More 1904 at npr.org. It's Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon back next week. I'm Susan Stamberg.